Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Mr. BJ Thomas, how are you there, my friend?
Hey, I'm so good. I appreciate it. I'm glad I finally got to you. You know, I didn't have this, for some reason, this was missing from my schedule. So they just let me know a couple of minutes ago. So I'm glad I got to you close to. And how late am I? I'm an hour late?
You're not an hour late. You're just a few minutes, and we had some fun talking about your song. We had some fun talking about Butch Cassidy, and I'm glad you're here with us this morning. I have to shake my head every time I think that this song is 50 years plus, because it just seems like yesterday. Is it right?
Well, you know, I feel the same way about it. I mean, even though I am, you know, I do realize there's been lots of ups and downs and drama, you know, over those years. So I know, 50 years is about right. But, you know, it does seem like, also it seems like just like yesterday, it was went number one on January 3rd, 1970. So that's been a long haul.
So what do you think it is about this song that has, you know, stuck with people? I mean, this is more than a song from a movie or a song that went number one. There is some attachment that people have to Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head that people just love.
Well, you know, I just think it has a lot to do with a couple of geniuses. You know, Burt Bacharach composed the music. It had a lot going for it. Hal David wrote the lyrics, and Hal David just wrote, you know, he wrote his lyrics straight from the heart. They were very simple and meaningful. And, of course, this thing had the great vehicle, the great movie, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And, you know, I had been working with Mr. Bacharach for a few months looking for a song that we might record and when this came up. So I've always counted myself very fortunate to be in the right place at the right time. But, you know, if I knew exactly what made this song, what it turned into, I would do it again every time I go in the studio. Well, it just had a, you know, such a truism. You know, the rain is falling on your head, but if you're free, nothing's worrying you. So just something about it really, everybody, you know, connected with, young and old.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, not only this song, but I mean, you have had more than your share of, you know, terrific songs through the years. Like, you know, I'm a former music DJ.
So you played a lot of my records.
We came up at exactly the same time. You know, me on the radio, and you playing the songs like another Somebody Done Somebody Wrong song, and I Just Can't Help Believing, and Hooked on a Feeling, and Rock and Roll Lullaby, and Mighty Clouds of Joy. I mean, the list goes on and on of some of the great songs.
I've been very fortunate, and I think one of the reasons that I had some successful music was the fact that I was lucky enough to work with some of the great writers and composers of my time. Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil wrote Rock and Roll Lullaby, and Chips Moman and Larry Butler wrote Wrong Song. And Chips Moman was the producer of my music for most of my career, and he just had a great band, the Memphis Boys, the American Studio Group. And you know, it was one of those things that just worked out. I went to Memphis in '67 and started the recording, cut Hooked on a Feeling. Hooked on a Feeling was one of the big reasons that I got Raindrops also, because Mr. Bacharach, he liked to record people that were selling records, you know?
Right. You and Dionne Warwick, you know, can thank your Burt Bacharach for.
Yeah, of course, we were on the same label, and, you know, so I always looked up to Dionne, and she was a great friend of mine, and so I kind of was selling records at that time, and I was in the back of his mind, and I had been working with him, so it just worked out beautifully. Almost everything with Raindrops, no matter how you look at it, came out perfectly. I mean, it just, there were no nothing bad or untoward with that show, even though with that song, even though I had laryngitis when I did the soundtrack.
Really?
For the bicycle scene. Yeah, I had gone to the doctor the day before the session, which was on a Sunday, for the bicycle scene. And, I was having terrible trouble with my throat. And of course, this was out in California. And Gloria, my wife, made me go to the doctor. And he said, BJ, this is the worst throat I've ever seen. He said, I don't want you to even speak for 2 weeks. And I went, oh, man. You got to help me, Doc. And but you know, there was not much we could do about it. So when I went out to Mr. Bacharach's house to rehearse that day before, I was afraid he was just going to tell me to get out. You know, so, right. But you know, I started singing the song, and he could tell that my throat was shot. But you know, he liked it. He liked the sound and the way it felt. And he never said a word.
How about
he never
that?
Said a word.
I'll never be able to listen to that song the same way again now after hearing that story.
Well, you know, we recut it 6 weeks after we did the soundtrack for the single version, but the movie version has a little roughness to it, and the movie people and Mr. Bacharach, they thought that was the way it should sound. You know, they thought they liked it.
Let me take a quick break, and we'll come back, chat more with the great B.J. Thomas on 720 WGN.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't
11:45, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Joined by the great B.J. Thomas on the phone line this morning. Give us a good story about this Hooked on a Feeling. I'm looking at the video when you sang this song. You and I had exactly the same lamb chop sideburns back in the day.
Yeah, we were all following Elvis in Memphis. I've cut the recorded that in Memphis, and Elvis had the big sideburns then. So I had to have some too. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say maybe I got my sideburns because you had the sideburns.
Well, hey, maybe so. You know, I was recording in Memphis, as I said, with the Chips Moment and those guys, and one of my great friends, a guy named Mark James, who's in the Songwriters Hall of Fame and the Country Songwriter Hall of Fame, and just one of the great writers who wrote Suspicious Minds. That Elvis cut in his comeback stuff. And he wrote a thing for me called The Eyes of a New York Woman. And we had noticed, of course, the Beatles and Gamble and Huff in Philadelphia, they were using the sitar. And so we used the electric sitar on The Eyes of a New York Woman. Reggie Young played the lead then on Hooked. And we used it a little more on Hooked on a Feeling. And Reggie Young played that, what really one of the classic guitar leads that introduced the song and ended it. And it was, it was kind of unexpected sound. Yeah. Kind of like raindrops. There was a resistance to airplay. Radio stations were very slow to go on it, but when they did play it, there was a huge response.
Yeah.
So
it was such a different sound. Fantastic. You know, I was flipping around the radio, and I heard that other version of the song, Hooked on a Feeling, the Ooga, yeah. Ooga Chaka, Ooga Ooga. And I thought, I actually thought to myself when I was listening to it, how must B.J. Thomas feel about hearing his beautiful song, Ooga Chaka'd, to death like that?
Yeah, well, you know, I have to recognize and appreciate that it was, that the Blue Swede cover was a... was really a good production. You know, they took the Ooga Chuggas from Running Bear, an old song back then, and actually the guy was singing the wrong lyrics and everything, but, you know, the production and the sound of that record was really great. Honestly, I felt like they covered me a little too soon, but, I kind of had to... Most of my records were covered by people in Europe and Australia, and I had to get used to it. It was okay because my buddy Mark, made more money on it, and of course that song has been really successful movie wise.
Yeah,
it was a number one record. So hey, you know, I had to kind of appreciate it myself, because it wouldn't do any good for me to feel bad about
exactly.
it. You know,
spoken like a true gentleman. The 414 area code says, "We love BJ Thomas. His book, Home Where I Belong, changed my life. Thank you, BJ." How about that?
You're welcome. Well, you know, Home Where I Belong was. We had, Gloria and I have been married 52 years this year, but back in 76, we kind of had I had been through some rough years and put Gloria through some hard times, and, you know, I had my problems, with alcohol and drugs and certain things, and we kind of woke up together. We kind of woke up to a more of a spiritual look at things. I mean, it's not a religious thing, but we kind of recognize the spiritual essence in things. And mm-hmm. so basically I retired in 76, and we adopted a little child, and then Gloria had another baby, and we kind of just spent a lot of time with the family for about 5 years or so. And that really was the turnaround for our family. So we ended up writing that book. Home Where I Belong was a song that was the first, the title song to the first platinum album in gospel history. And to our big surprise, we had no idea about the gospel industry until then. But, kind of a turnaround. And we wrote a book about it. And I appreciate hearing that it helped somebody out.
Yeah, it obviously also affected other people. You've made some interesting career choices where home was a priority to you, and family was a priority. And in this business where it's about stay on the road, keep making money, those must have been difficult choices for you to make.
Well, you know, it wasn't that hard, because even over the last number of years, decades really, we're not I never was interested in just being being involved or chasing after the carrot, so to speak, all the time. So I've always been kind of low key, and after I kind of came out of my tough years, I appreciated my wife so much, and I wanted to have a family. I didn't want to stay on the road all the time. I wanted to have a family. So I kind of always, since then, I've concentrated on trying to stay and be involved with my family, and of course with my lovely wife. And man, I still get out even today. I get, except, of course, we're in a time when no one can work, but I usually do about 50, 60, 70 one-nighters a year. And mm-hmm. I still stay busy, you know?
Yeah. So many people, texting in, so many memories. 847 area code, Raindrops was my first 45 I bought as a child. We performed Raindrops at my grade school graduation back in 1971. The 847. We saw BJ on a cruise to Aruba in 2001. He said he mentioned if he had another hit like that, he could have retired. Raindrops. How about that? This is Pam on the line for BJ Thomas. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi. Yes. I just want to say that, I'm 61 and a half years old right now. But when I was in sixth grade, my grade school had a talent show, and my girlfriend and myself, we got up on the stage to sing Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. And I was so nervous, I sang the first verse twice, and then I messed it all up. We just messed the whole thing up. But,
well, I've done that myself. So.
I just wanted to tell you that. It's an old song now, but it's still a great one.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, I've messed it up a few times, too, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, it definitely happens. It's so interesting, yeah. Isn't it, that that song has had so many lives. One of the more recent is being reused in the Spider-Man movie after all these years.
Yeah, I remember I was just home, hanging with Gloria one evening, and my daughter called, said, "Dad, we just saw Spider-Man 2, and your song is in there." And then of course, they played the entire song just about. So that song, it's just had a wonderful life, and I think it has a lot to do, as I said, with the genius of the writer and the composer. And no one ever played the way Mr. Bacharach played, and no one really ever wrote it with such simple beauty as Hal David. So they created something really, really special.
Yeah, I think you may have had a little to do with the success of that also. But
well, you know, Hal and I had quite a few discussions about the song, and he said he always just felt like it was the perfect meeting of singer, music, and lyric. And of course, it had the great movie to go with it, so it had everything going for it. It was just kind of all things met perfectly, you know.
So you know, you were talking about how sort of everything is shut down now, so you know, nobody is doing any performances, but can people keep up with what you're doing right now, a website or something?
Yes.
Like that.
Yeah, I'm at bjthomas.com. I've got a Facebook presence, and so a lot of our energy now we're not working is concentrated on trying to do a few more interviews such as this one. And we so appreciate you talking to me, because this is a great place to be heard by people. And so we're concentrating a little more on that. BJThomas.com. You can get me on the Facebook, and we're doing some Zoom things, and we'll try to be a little bit more involved. And, you know, this is a weird period of time in the history of the world, and no one could ever imagine this. And I just hope that we can all practice the safety methods and get through this thing as soon as we can.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really nice to talk to you. I appreciate it. And I hope we can do it again sometime soon.
Yes, I hope so. And as I said, I really appreciate it, man. I enjoy talking to you. I appreciate you playing my records back in the day. And thank you very much, my friend.
All right, I'm going to grow my sideburns out in your honor now after this. Be a little more gray than they used to be.
I heard that. You bet.
Thanks, BJ. Take care.
Yes, sir. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A rainbow.